My life sets a good example at all times. This is a thought for today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. My life sets a good example at all times. Now, we have a phrase here on campus that we'd like to use. It says, be yourself and have fun. Be yourself and have fun. In other words, live a life of joy. Live a life of fulfillment. Now, we have two of our students in Switzerland who just gave a seminar. And as you probably know, Dr. Ernest Holmes of Science of Mind, and Bill Hornady of Science of Mind, and Charles Fillmore of Unity, and Ernest Wilson of Unity, many other beautiful people, they've all given seminars too. And each one of them writes so poignantly about their first seminar, their first great lecture. Nobody came. They advertised it, they promoted it, but nobody came. Yet when they were with other people who paved the ground, who had the garden and raised the plants, the people loved what they had to say. But they didn't love what they had to say enough to come and hear them. So Dr. Holmes, he says, it wasn't very much fun. He said, but I changed it. I decided that day, in fact, all of these great speakers come to the same conclusion. I'm going to give the lecture for myself. If anyone's there, great. If no, great. But I'm giving it for myself because I love what I have to say, and I love what I say, and I want to put it to work in my life. And if anybody else hears it, fine. Well, Stefan and Monica, two of our outstanding students in Switzerland, well, actually two of our outstanding students, period, planned a glorious seminar in Switzerland. And they had many friends who wanted to come. Many friends who were also students. And they said to these friends, don't come. We want to be uninhibited as we give our maiden seminar, so that we won't be inhibited by having you hear us, so that we have to stay according to the line, you know. And so their friends, okay, they didn't come. Their friends numbered a good number, who knows, 10, 20, 30 people. It could have been there. So they held the seminar. And they had a beautiful hotel room for it, and everything was all just glorious. And one person came, a very nice person, very interested in what they were doing. And so they made the first mistake by not holding it in that room. They should have held it in that room, because that's where it was planned. And the big teachers didn't leave the big room they had just because nobody came or because few came. And you remember the story about Bill Hornady. He went out to give his first solo lecture after being with Dr. Holmes for so many years and being so well accepted. And there was only one person in the room. And at the end, he said to the one person, well, it's over now and I must go. And the person says, that's fine. Enjoyed hearing you talk. And Dr. Hornaday said, well, aren't you leaving? He says, no, I'm the janitor here. So the one person he had there was the janitor who was just waiting for him to finish up so he could close the doors and lock up the place. But that is humorous, but it's quite something. Well, anyhow, Stefan and Monica had this very marvelous person at their activity, and they spoke with them, and they did a very good job. And so, as I wrote to Monica, I said, delighted to hear about your first seminar with Stefan. One devoted participant who gained great blessings is truly satisfying. Having hundreds is wonderful, and their applause of your excellence is gratifying. However, to know that one person profited from what you have to share is beyond measure. And then I wrote to Stefan, I hear your first seminar was an excellent success. You had one participant who thoroughly enjoyed what you had to offer. If you are after numbers, remember the beginnings of others who started with none or one and who persisted because they had something to offer. You and Monica make a fine team and contribute beautifully to one another of your mutual understanding and individual illumination. I'll send Monica a copy of this too. But you see, in all your sharing, remember one thing, I said to Stefan. You are not teaching anything new. All knowledge exists, and we merely share our understanding of it. As we share, we have arrived at our level of competence through the experiences in our life. We may not draw attention to our learning, the schools that we have gone to, but we are always respectful to what stepping stones have brought us to this level of excellence. We do not try to change the past or even our present growth. Rather, we are open to our highest and best and applaud every path, but walk our own lovely path to its fullest, never really knowing where it will lead us, but knowing it always is fun and being ourselves. This is quite important for all of us, because though we may not be giving seminars, though we may not be standing before large crowds of people, we may not draw the magnificent numbers of Billy Graham, but our life must set a good example at all times for what we believe and who we are. If you teach love, understanding, compassion, joy, harmony, peace, and those things, you have to live that. You have to live that in every aspect of your being. And I'm not saying you have to because I say so. I am saying so because if you don't, you will be considered a fool. People will look at you and say, you don't practice what you preach. You don't follow the things that you say are important. So if we're going to say anything about a judgment, anything about love, peace, understanding, wisdom, we must practice it. As I have been talking about the Iraq situation over the past months, I have continually said that there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And people I talked to said, how can that be? I say, because if everyone in their consciousness would speak their word for peace, there'd be peace. Because if they ever attempted to hold a war, no one would come. Wouldn't that be a terrible war? Hold a war and nobody comes? And that can be. That does happen too. That is happening. It's frustrating to the warlord, and it's also frustrating to his troops. But in truth, they breathe a sigh of relief. They don't have to fight. Now, we don't ever have to fight in our life. The only thing we do is to be ourselves and have fun. The only thing to do is to go out and set a good example at all times of what we believe. Now, Stefan and Monica are setting a good example of what they believe. They believe in self-worth, and they're teaching self-worth. What do we teach here at the monastery? We teach self-worth, too. We teach one-pointedness, being untouchable. We teach being non-judgmental and unpossessed and all these good things. And we acknowledge that. We have a young man who's coming here, possibly in the next few weeks, and he said, I want to take the courses that the university offers, thinking that these courses are day courses that we offer. And they're not. They're all correspondence. You read the book yourself. You study it yourself. If you have a problem, you contact us. We talk to you about it. But it's yourself. And when you love yourself, you're a wonderful student. You know, there are some children in schools. They say, oh, I had a bad teacher. And I had a bad teacher that didn't teach me anything, and I hated that teacher. Well, you don't say anything about the other teachers that were apparently easy on you, or where the subjects were easy for you to do. But you seek only that one teacher that gave you a hard time. What was that one teacher attempting to do with you? What was that one teacher attempting to do with you that the other teachers maybe did or did not do? But the one teacher was attempting to bring out of you your highest and your best. They wanted to bring out of you the fact that you do know those things, that you are harmonious with what you're learning, that your path is great. But you see, we hate that teacher. We say, oh, I hated that teacher because that teacher just wouldn't get off my back. They expect me to do this and expect me to do that. Oh, how wonderful, you know? But we say we hated them. Now, I often speak about my Gertie Dooley at the Science of Mind. I'd been publishing newspapers and magazines for 30 years. And I went to the Science of Mind to be the associate editor there. And Gertie Dooley was my assistant. My assistant. She had been there 25 years, and she was my assistant. She should have really been the boss. She was good. But she expected the best out of me. I was used to daily journalism, weekly journalism, where you get quick and dirty, in and out. You get your stories through. You write with skill because you're good, but you don't take a lot of time. Well, with Gertie, every letter had to be perfect. Every word had to be the right chosen word. Everything had to be skillfully done. She demanded the proofreading be done 3 or 4 times for each magazine, and that there could be no mistakes in there, and there were no mistakes. She went through there with a fine-tooth comb, and other people were doing it too, but she made sure that that was perfect, and she demanded, expected me to do the same thing. And of course, I give a cursory look at it, and away she goes. We go to press, you know, we haven't got time to do all this nonsense. And my publications were good. They were basically correct. There was an error here and there, but in Science Mind, there were no errors, because Gertie Dooley would not allow it. And though she irritated me terribly the first few months, after that I realized, hey, this is the greatest blessing of my life. She is expecting the best out of me. And I respected her and honored her beyond measure from that point on. In fact, our relationship changed. I went on a diet for a while, and when I was done with the diet, she said, now the minute you get off that diet, I'm taking you out to dinner, and we're having a hot fudge sundae, and we're having this and that and the other thing, and you know, she was just a love. And when I was editing my books later, maybe 20 years later, 30 years later, I went back to see where she was, to see if I could hire her to edit my books for me, you know, check them all over, because she knew what I'm thinking. And she had had a stroke and wasn't available. And, you know, I thought, darn, you know, just when I needed her the most. And, of course, what is the answer? Herb, do it yourself. Do it yourself. You don't need someone else to edit your work, because anyone editing your work is going to put their attitudes in it, their feeling into it, and you want to do it yourself. And so when Stefan and Monica go out and do their seminars, they want to do it themselves. But in doing it yourself, remember, always get your worst critics there in front of you, which is basically yourself. But always get your worst critics, who are your dearest friends, who don't pull punches. They say, hey, that was great. Or, man, you could have stayed in bed with that time, you know. But your friends, your world, the people that you love and that love you, they will say things to you that another audience won't. And they'll not say it unkindly. They'll say, hey, you could really shine if you would talk about things you know about. Isn't that true? And how often we talk, like Stefan was using one of my illustrations, and he called me because his associate said, where'd you get that information from? You know, how can you prove that information? And so Stefan called, hey, how can I prove this? Where'd you get that illustration? Well, I remembered, and I told him the book, and I told him the author, and I told him the page number virtually. And so he looked it up, and he says, oh, great. I said, use your own illustrations, you know. You have hundreds of them, and you can back them up. You can use mine or anybody else's you want. You can read them in books and things like that. But you want to set an example of who you are. You want to let these come gently tripping off your tongue because they belong to you, because they're out of your own personality. Well, these wonderful New Thought teachers that I had known in my life and know in my life, They were not always top of the hill. They were walking up there, and they were doing good. But never did they turn to anybody and say, how come nobody attended my seminar? How come nobody attended this or that other thing? And I said, well, we should be like Anthony Robbins, have his wonderful ability to present seminars and draw people to his groups. But when you get down to it, Anthony Robbins does not have a lot of people attending his seminars because of him. He has a lot of people attending his seminars because of his front people. And Catherine Kuhlman, the great healer, she had thousands filling up the Shrine Auditorium in L.A., as far as I'm concerned, because I'd been there. And she had front people out there, people who did the advertising, who did the promotions, who did the door-to-door, who went to all the churches and who had the churches send people by the busloads there, you know. I mean, they wouldn't have filled that place up like that with the people that they got, the people who really wanted something from her, because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it, and they wouldn't know about it. But because she had exquisite promotion advertising in front of people, the people came. And if Stefan and Monica want to play the role on a big scale, then they got to advertise, nice big ads. They have to send buses to all of the churches and bring the people, you know, and that can be done. That can be done. And there's not a great charge. In fact, most of the time there's very little charge. But when the offerings are taken in Catherine Kuhlman's lectures, it is in the millions. It is in the millions that comes to her. And when Robert Schuller takes his offerings, it's in the millions. You know another place that has it in the millions? The Viejas, the gambling, Indian gambling thing. They make at least $6 to $8 million an evening. People just love to spend money on something that gives them a delight. And gambling seems to give people a great delight. Well, now, if that's the case of our little Indian reservations around here, imagine what happens in Las Vegas. Oh, goodness. They change money. They don't even charge for the hotel rooms because they make so much money off of the other, they want to get people there. And don't spend your money on a hotel room. Spend it down here. And they have meals for them that are they used to be free, but now they have a modest charge for it because people from the street come in. And it's always full. And night, day, no matter what, it is full because that's their consciousness. Now, do any of the gambling joints on the Strip in Las Vegas fail? No. They're all a success because they are in a success area where each one complements the other. Oh, I'm sure there are some through bad management or through skimming where they take the money off the top, which the government frowns upon very greatly, and runs away with it. They have folded because of that, but not because people weren't there to put it in, but it's just because they didn't know how to manage it. Now, my life sets a good example at all times. I know how to manage my money. I know how to manage my activities. I know how to manage my health. I know how to manage my lectures. I know how to manage everything that I do. And whenever I make a little mistake, or whenever I listen to the world consciousness, I inherit that. I inherit those things. And all of you have done the same thing. When one of you felt a little sick, the other says, well, I want to be sick too. Like when the kids were here, when one wanted glasses, they all wanted glasses. They didn't need them, which is a good thing. But we should be our own master and not say, just because somebody else has something, we want it. We should say, we are unique and special, and this is how we live and how we act, and this is what we do. My life sets a good example at all times, and it's a wonderful thing, too. It's the kind of life that we want to live. Now, does your life set a good example all the time? I would like to say it does, and I'd like you to say it does, even if perhaps for a moment you think it doesn't. So, just say to yourself, my life sets a good example at all times. Let's say it together. My life sets a good example at all times. And so it is. I love you and have a beautiful day.